Ladies and gentlemen, Fridays means Mike Ditka and Brother Johnny. Today, Mike in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Coach, how are you?
I'm doing great. Came up to see my mom and my brother and I. Actually, one of my sons came with me. So we're going to see my mom and spend some time with her.
Brother Johnny's in Houston. And, John, we know what a great guy Mike is. Concerned about his mom, who's 91, you say, Mike?
91. She's in a nursing home, but her mind's really, really good. But physically, she has problems because she's in a wheelchair most of the time.
Yeah. And when you walk into that nursing home, everybody knows you. It's as the same as it is.
It's not quite that way, Steve. A lot of those people don't know anything. That's a tragedy. You get a real dose of reality when you go into a place like that and understand it. And the people who run the nursing home and work there, they're terrific. I mean, they do a great job. They really care about the people there. But some of those people don't know they're there. I mean, that's just the way it is. You know what happens.
Yeah, it's a hard
one. I think the last time I saw your mom, she was sharp as a tack.
Well, my mind is still sharp. She's okay.
Yeah.
That's good.
All right, let's talk about the Republican National Convention. The GOP convention is coming up in Tampa beginning Monday. Governor Rick Scott of Florida concerned about the potential hurricane.
I'm going to be where it makes the most sense. So if it makes the most sense to be here in Tallahassee, I'll do that. If they're someplace else, my first responsibility and my main responsibility is to be the governor of the state. We're going to know a lot when it comes off the coast of Cuba. We'll know, hopefully, the nice thing would be is if it turns into a nice little rainstorm.
What is your thinking, Johnny? You know all about Katrina. You know about this hurricane preparation. What are people thinking about this thing right now?
Well, it's a tough deal now. He's right. Cuba could ping it one way or another. It could still go out to the Gulf. One track had it headed towards good old New Orleans. And then it could also swing up across Florida and in the north. It's a tough time to have a hurricane. You've got people come from all over the country, and the preparations are going on. And then, of course, a lot of people are leaving. And so it's a bad break, and hopefully it will not be a very big storm, and it won't hit Tampa direct because it'll have quite an effect on operations for the convention. So bad timing, I guess, Stevie.
Yeah, not much you can do about it, Mike. Not much you can do about the weather.
No, you can't control that. And hopefully, like John said, hopefully it's not nearly as bad as they're predicting. But I think they got to predict the worst and hope for the best.
Yeah. All right, new Fox poll has Mitt Romney 1 point ahead of Barack Obama. Dana Blanton is a Fox poll analyst.
The poll shows Mitt Romney supporters are more enthusiastic this year. Right now, by an 11 percentage point margin, Romney's backers are more likely to be extremely interested in the election, and by 10 points, they're more likely to think it's extremely important that their candidate win in November. The poll finds voters think neither candidate is sticking to the high road. Majorities say Romney and Obama will say and do, quote, just about anything to win in November. 58% think that of Romney, and 57% think the same of Obama.
Well, it's going to get dirty, Mike. You've said that.
Well, it's pretty dirty right now. But, I mean, again, I'll go back to one thing, guys, and I really believe this is the bottom of my heart. If you have no record to run on, you must run down the other guy's record. And that's in a nutshell, is what we have in our society right now, in office. We have no record to run on. None of the promises he's made have come true. The deficit is soared. He's still blaming it on Bush. Inherited it, this, that. Spending is out of control. He wants to raise, fine. You want to raise taxes, raise taxes. But you're talking about 10% or 20% of the people who are paying 90% of the taxes. 20% are paying 90%. Now, I mean, I don't know what you want. I mean, how do we encourage people to have initiative, drive, ambition? I mean, we say, okay, we'll just take care of you. The government will take care. That's what's wrong with it. This is too much like socialism.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, it's hard for the government to do that, Steve. That's one of my big points, is that you can hear the promises and you can need the money and spend it, but they really just aren't very effective. It's better to turn that over to each of the individuals and let them run their own lives. I think Romney is a very interesting fellow, and I did meet him Monday, Mike. And he's about what you'd expect, It's kind of that what you see is what you get, which I always like.
I read a quote the other day from Ronald Reagan. He says, the scariest words in the English language I'm from the government, and I'm here to help.
Well, I'll tell you, he's going to be very difficult to get scared of. He's just not a very scary guy. And so when you're running a campaign to kind of make it worrisome to vote for him, it's probably not going to work very well, Steve. I think it's going to be close. I think there's an excellent chance that Romney can win. And, of course, President Obama has a lot of people that still support him. I think it's going to be a very interesting time here. And the choice is, and I think a lot of the people, Mike, still do believe in the federal government as far as just the concept. They think that,
I saw a survey today that, you know, a lot of people blame Congress. And Congress deserves a lot of blame, too. But, you know, you can't make promises and you can't say that you're doing something when you're really not doing anything. And what's happened right now, this administration has done zippo, nothing, zero, absolutely nothing. You know, in comparison, if we look at past administration, I would say that I don't want to compare it with anybody else's, but, you know, we went through an era with Carter that people thought was crazy. Well, it's pretty crazy right now. The only difference is this guy's a very popular guy.
Yeah, and he's got a lot of charisma, and I thought that Jimmy Carter actually was at least honest. I always felt Jimmy Carter was an honest guy. I never agreed with most of what he was saying, and of course, he was pretty ineffective as well. And Reagan brought us out of that recession, but it's a clear choice this time, Stevie.
Yeah, and no question. Clear as a bell. Jay Carney, White House spokesman, talking about the whole tax cuts for the rich and everything from the White House today.
The tax cut for middle-class Americans has far greater positive economic impact than a tax cut to people in the top 2%. They don't necessarily spend it and inject it back into the economy. The Senate passed a bill that extends these middle-class tax cuts for 98% of the American people. The House ought to do the same. And just by doing that, we could alleviate some of the concern about the so-called fiscal cliff. We are clearly at loggerheads when it comes to the top 2%. We are in total agreement when it comes to the 98%.
Johnny, your thoughts?
Well, I think that's just a political ploy. The top 2%, whether they're taxed more or not, make no difference. It's $70 or $80 billion, which in this game
exactly. Over 10 years, there's $700 billion over. It's nothing compared to what they're running up, the bill they're running up.
And so I think they're just trying to pick a bill that the Republicans will bow up about, an issue where they can then blame the Republicans for not extending the tax cuts. It's just pretty bald faced. And I think, again, it's a spending issue to start with, and we do need to extend these cuts. And they just came up with this deal to try to force an issue and continue their class warfare strategy, because that's how they're going to divide this country and get those votes. I think that's a mistake, and I think you need to extend the cuts so that we can keep people's money in their own pockets. And in the end,
there are a lot of people that don't understand what you just said, and what you said is so true. You know, that was a great tactic in war. When you want to beat the enemy, you divide the enemy. And, I mean, what they're dividing this country, they really are. And they're putting in the class. We keep talking about the middle class. Now, I don't know. I know what the lower class is. I know that's pretty poor. The middle class could range in a lot of areas to me. I mean, people who make, adequate living to people who make, over $100,000, I would assume. Isn't that still middle class?
Well, I think it is nowadays,
yeah.
And it isn't all that much money anymore by the time you add it all up. And so
you've got to create, we've got to generate these businesses, small business, because that's what creates jobs. Now, a lot of what they're saying now, if they do some of the stuff they want to do, you're going to fall back into another recession. I just saw that on TV today.
Yep.
And you're going to have major problems with unemployment back up around 9%.
Johnny, when you sat with Mitt Romney this past Monday, he wanted to hear from the business owners, correct?
Well, he wanted to hear from anybody. He said, I'm open to any advice. He said he may not take it. He said some advice he's not going to take. But he listens. And he says every now and then someone comes with a great idea. And I think that's great. I think that's a great way to lead. And so back to the tax cut, you know, the top 2%, Steve, it's interesting to me whenever someone asks a Democratic leader the question, what's your fair share? And they start dancing and hedging, they'll never say, because they know that most Americans would think 50% of what you bring in is fair. And that's where I am. By the time I pay state, local, land, fees, sales, and federal, it's over half of every dollar I make. There's a point at which, Mike, I don't want to do what I'm doing if I don't get to keep at least half of it. What's the point? I'll just sit back and let someone else work. And that's the problem.
I agree with you 100%. Yeah. I mean, that's basically where I'm at.
And that's fair.
Yeah. And I know that's fair. I mean, first of all, because we probably as youngsters never had the idea that we could ever make that kind of an income. But once you make it, you don't mind. Yeah, I don't mind paying. I really don't
Absolutely.
Mind.
Not at all. But there's a limit.
If you want to fix the system, there's a better way to do it. I mean, it would be a flat tax. Everybody pays the same thing. And it would fix the system, but they don't want to do that.
Now, I tell you, too, Mike and Johnny on the line, ladies and gentlemen. It's Mike Ditka, brother Johnny, 93.5, 95.3. It's Connect FM. What seems to be even more than the money thing, Johnny and Mike, is the fact that you're scorned for being successful.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then you're told that you didn't do it anyway. Yeah. The government did.
Well, I'll tell you, too, the other thing I would object to when he says you're not going to get the top 2% injecting their money. That's all I do with any money I make. We just hire some more people. We might start another business. Heavens, I spend it all over the place. I got to worry about my own spending. But as far as not injecting it, you can't get me on not injecting it back into the economy.
It's totally against the American way, what they're saying. And we all do it. We all have. I have businesses. Same thing. We hire people. We employ a lot of people. Now, we make a lot of people happy by what we do, but nobody gave it to us. We earned it.
Now, why do you think the word fear and Barack Obama have been used so much in the last 4 years, Johnny?
Well, I think that's a tried and true method of keeping a base is you better let me take care of you. These guys are going to get you. I'm the guy that'll watch out for you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't watch out for you, as Mike says, as he can't produce anything, then he has to say the other guy will get us all, like Biden and his comments.
Yeah.
And they try to scare people.
I think another word you got to worry about, the fear word I understand, but dangerous. This guy's dangerous. And right now, the way the Democrats are acting, they're dangerous. I mean,
it's bad for the
country moving forward right now. Mm-hmm. And it's ridiculous because you can see the gloves have come off in this campaign. And they're probably going to stay off, and it's going to get a lot uglier.
Well, here's a passion from Michelle Obama on the campaign trail.
You can tell them that more of our kids can afford college. More of our seniors can afford their medicine. Remind folks that Barack ended the war in Iraq, passed historic health reform, and stood up for our most basic rights again and again and again.
And a chicken in every pot.
Well, and of course, that's the promise that's going to be hard to keep. You know, the health care actually does raise tax on the middle class in all manner of ways, and it's just not true, Steve.
Of course, it's a theory. The people she's talking to don't know that it's not true. This is rhetoric. It's all it is. Half the things he says aren't true either. It's rhetoric. But that's why politicians. You can say that about probably 80% of the politicians. They spot something off, and none of it makes any sense. But they're a certain segment of our society.
And one of the clear things about the strategy that Democrats have been using, which is just pure fear, regardless of the truth, the Medicare bill that Ryan passed, Steve, does not affect anybody on Medicare right now. And they're telling them that they're going to lose this.
They're lying.
That's exactly right. And that just goes with the character of trying to scare someone anyway. So
yep. The mainstream media doesn't write about that, John. They don't cover that. They don't care about that because that's fact.
All right, let's ask you guys about what happened in Augusta, Georgia this week. Mike, will women change Augusta?
Well, you know, I have my own feelings about that. And, Augusta's free to do whatever they want to do. Any course is free to do whatever they want to do. That's their choice. But it's also a private golf club. So what they do, I thought to me, they really cater to pressure. And fine. I have nothing against. I play golf with women all the time in Florida, every day. I have no problem with them belonging, playing, anything else. I'm not prejudiced in any way. But I'm saying that the people they let in are two good people. They're outstanding people. I think they'd be outstanding members of any country club in America. But I think they really, really, you talk about a politically correct move. This is the all-time one.
Well, it looked to me, Stevie, like Condoleezza Rice could probably beat me.
Yeah, I'll tell you what.
All right.
But that's not really all of us. the issue is it allowable for a guy to start a club or a woman to start a club? Heck, Mike, in Colorado, there was a boy allowed in the Girl Scouts because he wanted to. Now, come on.
Well, that's a liberal society. I mean, that's the eggheads in our society to think this stuff. I mean, it's totally amazing. What makes them right for a boy to get into a Girl Scouts or a girl to get into the Boy Scouts? Why? Why should they? Because it's a gender thing? I mean, come on. Stop it. Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts.
I'll tell you, Mike, I think that that when they take it to that extreme, it appears to me like it's an attempt to disrupt or even destroy whatever the organization is. They'll come in with something that's just ridiculous. And the girls have the Girl Scouts and the boys have the Boy Scouts. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
And when you're growing up, I mean, boys and girls are different. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Well, I think in this unique case, the boy was even named Pat or Chris, some gender equity thing. It was a weird deal. And you're going, my goodness, what are you doing?
Well, you kind of feel sorry for the kid because you can't, you know, I mean, they're kids.
So. Yeah, exactly.
Certainly he was encouraged by his idiot parents to do it, so that's probably something to do with it.
All right, finally, referees. Mike, it looks like the NFL is set to start with the replacement folks, and it looks like they're going to just hang on here.
I don't think they're going to fight. They really don't. I think that, I don't know what they're doing is right. I mean, I hear a lot of people saying it's a lot inferior. Some people say, well, it's not that much inferior. Some people say it's about the same. I really don't know. I just know that they've made some blunders on the calls, period. I mean, just on how they've called them after they've thrown the flag. So we'll see what happens. But
Some of that, too, is just experience. And eventually these guys, most of them are going to be good because they're getting a chance. And, it's just another phase of business. And the officials like doing what they do, and they put a lot into it. But I don't know how long you want to hold out. We'll see if they can come up with something.
Are they asking for just a bunch more money, Mike? Do you know the
record? Well, you know, it's going to that the NFL, the league wants to do a couple things. One of them is they want to have a full-time, one full-time official on every staff. And they're adamant against that. They're against that because all these guys really have other occupations.
Yeah.
They do other things in the off-season.
Right.
And most of them are very good things. I mean, my goodness, I can go back to the days when Alice hired guys, and he was the head of the aviation thing in Chicago. I mean, he was a big guy. I mean, and he would do that officiating on weekends during the football season, more or less as a hobby.
Right.
But, you know, they got paid for it.
Right.
But now it's become a lot more than a hobby because these guys are good at what they do, and I hope the league works it out. But I'm saying right now, the league has taken a pretty hard stance on this, and I don't think they're going to budge a whole lot. Something's going to have to give by both sides.
Well, those referees are a part of the game, and, of course, we recognize so many of them.
Absolutely. They're an integral part of the game, and the success of football depends on having the game officiated properly, just like it does baseball or basketball or hockey or anything else.
Yeah.
That's a job I don't think there's very many people can do well, because I know I can't do that. I'll watch the game. I couldn't call it.
Yeah.
That's a tough job. But, I think they'll be back sooner or later, one way or the other.
Well, listen, gentlemen, we'll leave it there. Johnny, thanks so much from Houston. Mike today from Pittsburgh. Hug your mama for us, and we'll talk again on Monday. Thanks again for being on. Always a pleasure.
All right.
Thank you, guys. Thanks, Mike. Thank you. Yes, sir. Bye.
He did say it, right?
He did.
Hey!
And Becky from St. Joe heard it and was the first one through.
All right, Becky, we're going to talk to you on the air here. Good going, Becky. $200 for Becky in St. Joe because he said stop it. It did work.
It did work.
I was asking. It's ridiculous. A boy in the Girl Scouts.
Yeah.
Come on.
late October 2011 in Colorado.
Stop it.
It happened.
Stop it.
Mm-hmm, 7-year-old transgender boy. Hmm.